ourselves to the world, and especially in our relations with you, sincerity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom but on God's grace. For we do not write to you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you the day of God Jesus
Christ. Thank you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 12 through 14 that we have just read. Paul is trying to say something which we would not know if we would not know the reason why he wrote it. And I have always said that basically Paul is also trying to defend his the apostleship. But now the church at Corinth is not only having that problem with apostleship, but also a lot of issues with Paul and a lot of misunderstandings. Now, basically, there are many criticisms that they have against Paul, but there are basic two to which he is trying to address in these three verses at least. Now, first thing that they were saying that Paul's letter were hard to understand. And that's why in 13 he says, "For what we are writing you is nothing more than what you can read and also understand. I hope you will understand completely." So basically they were saying that's what Paul is doing. He is writing something and meaning something else. So this is one of the criticisms that they have against Paul. That he says, and see if you read following verses from 15 on, you understand that he's saying our yes is yes and no is no. Our yes is not no and our no is not yes. But if we say yes, it is yes. If we say no, it is no. And so first accusation they have against, or the criticism they have against Paul, is that his letters are difficult to understand. He's writing one thing and meaning another. So that is the first thing they have against their leader or this apostle. So they're saying he didn't mean what he wrote to us. And so he's trying to, before he talks about his journey and all coming to them, visiting, he's trying to clarify these things. Secondly, what they have, the accusation that they have against him is, Paul was very fickle. That is because if you read from 15 on, he's trying to tell them why he has changed his plan and what was it meant really. So secondly, why they're saying this is because he said, I'll visit you, then go to Macedonia, and then I'll go there and again come back, visit you, and then you can send me on to Jerusalem, taking the collection for the poor believers at Jerusalem. So they say he's saying, "Well, I'll visit," but he could not. He had to change his ministry plans for some reason. But taking that, now because they're actually questioning his integrity, how sincere he really is. And once we have questioned somebody's integrity and sincerity or the honesty, that raises lot other questions about the particular individual. You get that? Once you start questioning that person's integrity, the honesty, that raises lot many questions that would actually puzzle you. And so that is what has happened with the church at Corinth. There were false apostles, super apostles, some translations say, that were there. And so they are trying to deceive these people into believing something different about Paul. And now that is there, and because there is question about Paul's character actually. And that is raising many other questions. Many other misunderstandings are there between Paul and the church at Corinth. Now 100% are not on that side. But there is majority, or there are at least few who are against Paul, or at least have some criticisms or accusations against Paul. So, first one was that his letters are not really what he's writing, or he's not meaning what he's actually writing in the letters that are written to Corinthians. And secondly, he's very fickle. He's changing plans as per his comfort. So basically, they are saying that he is not really honest with us. He is not really concerned about us. All his plans are as per his comfort, as suits him. and he can change it at any time. Now, these are the accusations, and this is the background because of which Paul is writing what he is writing in verses 12, 13 and 14. Now, actually the defense about that or the his journey or visiting them starts from 15. But before he begins that, he's giving some introductory statement, and that is about talking about his own Christian character. Why? Because that's where the attack has been. That is the attack. They're saying he's not as sincere as he should be. His letters are not honest. He's saying one thing and meaning another. Taking that, Paul is writing these verses. And now, for this is what we boast about. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world with pure motives and godly sincerity, without earthly wisdom, but with God's grace, especially toward you. Now, before he's defending about his journey, his visit to them and all, he's talking something of his own character. Because when they accused him, the basic or exactly what they were accusing was his character. They were attacking his character. And so he's beginning with this, that for this is what we boast about. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves. So basically he's saying his conscience is the testimony. When the believers are accusing him of that insincerity or there is dishonesty, so first thing he appeals is not to his co-workers. First thing he appeals is not to any other common connections that they have, Paul and the church at Corinth. But basically what he is doing is he is saying, our boast is this, the conscience testifies about us. So testimony, let's say that is very important for all of us to understand. Now what happens when person has been a misunderstanding, the first thing we'll say is, no, I didn't tell lie, ask him or ask her. That is our point of reference, and most of the time, which may not be wrong, but that is our reference. But when Paul is trying to talk about his character, the point of reference is not another individual, but it is his own conscience. His own conscience. Now, when we think of conscience, we know conscience is not the ultimate judge. God is the ultimate judge. Alright, so that we need to understand first of all, and then move on talking about conscience. So conscience is not the ultimate judge. But once we have become Christians, once we have truly believed in Christ and we have been born of the Spirit, now our conscience should be shaped by the Word of God. Alright? So when Paul is talking of conscience, he's not talking about the just Jewish conscience that he had or just the moral conscience that anybody in the society would have. Now, more what he's referring to is actually his Christian conscience that he has now. Because if it was same, then it would be very different. Because with that proper conscience only, he was actually persecuting Christians. He was not intending anything wrong. His real zeal was for Jehovah. That how can someone stand up and call somebody else God when we know that Jehovah is the only God. So that was his conscience at that time. But now when he's talking to Corinthians, he's talking of the conscience that is very much a Christian conscience. So again, see, when child is born and conscience is shaped, you talk of eating meat, your conscience doesn't prick every Sunday. I mean, mostly in now places they would have non-veg on Sunday. So when you have non-veg, it doesn't prick. If my father were to have that, I think he would have real wrestling with that thing. Why? Because his conscience is formed in such a way, like see, just for example, we go home, I eat non-veg, my father, mother, they don't. Okay? They are Hindus. So, now it's actually a bit okay, but few years back, if we had to cook non-veg, we would not be able to cook it in our kitchen. Okay, now it's a village, so we have enough space. So we form that in a chula, right? You form it in somewhere else, cook it there, have that meat, your meal, then wash everything very clean and then come back home. Now, why is his conscience like that? Because there are different factors that form our conscience. For South Indians, something would be right or good, which is very difficult to accept for a North Indian. So why? Because our conscience is always formed. Or something for Western would be fine, something for Easterner, the same thing would be very difficult to go with. Just for example, think of kissing your wife in public. See, I don't see a different expression on his face. I'm sorry, but I mean, that's true. Right? Yeah. So it's... Yeah. So this is no problem at all for our brothers if they are from Western. No problem. Think of that. One of us doing it.
Amen.
Yes. So why is that? We would not do it, or if somebody does, it would not be really acceptable to us. But in Western setting, this is fine. I think it would rather be appreciated, right? So why is that? Because our conscience is always shaped by certain factors. The culture, the religion, the norms of the society, they form it. But now when we are coming to our Christian life, we have a conscience that is being very much shaped by the word of God. And that is more important. So when Paul is appealing to conscience, it is not just general conscience as he's just appealing to, but it is very much a Christian conscience, and he says that is our testimony. Why? Because you can lie to the whole world, but you cannot lie to yourself. The whole world can believe that lie, you cannot believe that lie. Why? Because your conscience testifies that this is not right. You didn't do the right thing. You didn't say the right thing. Who says? Our conscience. So, when I'm saying conscience, it is not just the moral, general understanding we have in society, but we need to understand that our conscience is very much shaped by the word of God and the teachings from the word. Now, that is the conscience that Paul is saying is our testimony. Why? Because my friend may not know my every intention. My life partner may not always know what I meant. You know, this could, get funny. You say something, you didn't really mean it. And your wife is in tears, how much my husband loves me. You know, and you are saying to yourself, oh my God, okay, fine. And then you put your arms out. This can happen to all of us. Why? You know what you meant, not even your wife can know everything that you meant. And so, in this particular context, our testimony should be our conscience. People appreciating is fine. Can my conscience really appreciate me for what I've done? People can say, I'm right, I'm good. Can my conscience say that to myself? That what I did was right in the sight of God. And that's what Paul is saying, that our boast, this is what we boast about, our conscience testifies. It's not my co-worker or minister or another believer, but primarily it is my conscience that testifies about how I have conducted myself in the world and specifically to you Corinthians. So our first testimony is our conscience. That is the great testimony we have. Now conscience, we know, again somebody has said, conscience is like skylight. It's not lamp. You understand? No? Arvindan is saying no. It's like skylight. It does not have light of its own. And that's why I said that light should come from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God. Because it is just the skylight. it is not the ultimate judge. God is the ultimate judge. And that's why the word of God is lamb unto my feet. It is the word of God that is the lamb. But then through that lamb, that light should pass to us, and our conscience may play like skylight. But then that should be there, which should testify about us. And so we, anytime we do things, we have to appeal to our conscience, whether our conscience would go with us, whether our conscience would say that we have done the right thing, whether our conscience would say that we have meant it and what we have meant is right. So first thing is appealing is to his conscience. And we'll just read few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Can someone read 1 Timothy 1, 5?
The goal of this command is love. It comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere
faith. And a good conscience. Another, Hebrews 10, verses 22. Hebrews 10, 22.
Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience.
Okay.
And having our bodies washed.
Sprinkle our conscience clear from the evil or from the guilt. That's what has happened to us as believers. Our conscience is sprinkled clean, and now after our conscience is sprinkled clean, now it has to be nurtured by the word of God so that it can become our judge in a sense. Okay, again we are clarifying that God is the ultimate judge, because our conscience may not say everything to us right. It depends, it has the limitation of how it has been formed. Our conscience is like, you know, it's like new babe that is born. Check the sole of it, the heel. It's probably as soft as the chicks. Right? Oh my. You understand? I mean, you all are looking like, I think I missed something. But then, as maybe child grows and keeps walking, and now touch your feet and see, feel how soft it is. No matter how fair and lovely or whatever you use, it's not going to make it any softer, any lotions. It has become so hard. And that's how our conscience is also formed. And so we as Christians need to be careful. How much are we feeding our minds with the word of God? How much are we feeding our conscience with the teachings from the word? Because that is going to help us in our Christian walk. That is going to be our testimony as well. And that is the conscience Paul is talking about. So most importantly, as in other passages we read, Paul was always about maintaining the clear conscience. And that is not just for ministers, that is for all believers. What? Maintaining the clear conscience. That my conscience can testify I meant it right. And that's the only thing that will tell you the truth. Or conscience is the only thing that knows what you really intend. So first thing Paul is saying is our boast is in our testimony that is from our conscience. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves and then whatever he says. Now, next thing he says, that we have conducted ourselves in the world with pure motives. Now, there are different translations that may say simplicity, some might say holiness, some might say frankness, and some are saying, which is maybe kind of paraphrased, but saying that we have conducted ourselves in the world with pure motives. As I told you in the introduction, why Paul has to do that is because this attack on his character, and they're saying that there is no moral purity in Paul. Why? Because he's writing one thing and meaning another thing. So there is no purity in his motives. And now Paul is saying that my conscience or our conscience testifies that we had the right intentions, or how we conducted is with pure motives. And so we are talking about this Christian character. First, our conscience should testify to us. Now, what is that testimony about? First thing that Paul is saying is about the simplicity or the purity in the motives. See, we do a lot of things in the world. with Christian believers, our brothers and sisters. Now what is more important is when we are connecting ourselves with them, or when we are behaving with our family, friends, believers, or even the non-believers, the world outside. Do we have the right motives that our conscience can testify to? That's what Paul is saying, that this is the character I have. And every Christian should have this character. Is there purity of motives? When we do something, when we mean something, are we meaning the same thing? Is there purity in our motives? Many a time it happens, and this is a difficult thing, but this is true. Most of the time, there may be the hidden agendas in what we do or what we say. Did you hear that? Most of the times, there is hidden agenda in what we do and what we say. And that is the challenge to our Christian character. That is the challenge to us as Christians. When we do things, when we say things, what is our motivation behind it? What is our motive in doing anything? Then you call it anything. Doing, about your in your family context or in our church or at our workplace. When we do something, I think the question we should always and often ask ourselves is why? Why did I say that? Just to have or seeking favor of my boss? Or did I really mean it? Why did I do that? Because I wanted to impress others? Or it was truly to help somebody? Now, I don't know, maybe different context, but let's say if even I'm preaching. When I preach, that is also a place where I'm tempted about my motives. Is my preaching, when I'm coming to Mark, am I preparing, or as I'm preparing, what is my motive? Is it that I'm going to Mark to impress, or I can share something from the Word that will build them up? So there's no place that is devoid of temptations. Not even the pulpit. When I stand here and say something, is it just to impress others, or is it truly meant to help them build up in the faith? And that's why in our Christian walk, in our Christian character, this is one of the most important things, and I know we all struggle with it. We all. I struggle with it. When I'm talking to a new person, you know, many times we say, first impression, you know that. First impression is it? Best impression. And so what we try to do is impressing. But as long as we are not purified in our motives, we cannot truly please God. I said, as long as we don't have pure motives, we cannot truly please God. I know it's not about pleasing for salvation. But as we serve Him, we want to give Him that which He requires of us. So in our Christian walk, in our Christian character, in our Christian living, as long as we do not have pure motives, we cannot truly serve God, we cannot truly worship God, we cannot truly minister to God. So, most important thing that Paul is trying to say is, my conscience testifies to me that I have been right in my motives. Or when I dealt with you, when I wrote to you, my motives were right. When I wrote, I did not write to impress. When I wrote, I did not write to show that kind of overpowering or trying to dominate over you. No. When I wrote, I had particular intentions, and which my conscience tells me that it was pure in motive. My motive, my motivations, my purpose were very pure. I often see this in our church. Many times we help others. And now, I don't know, but it happens in our settings at least. I'm sure it happens everywhere. we help somebody, okay, whatever they need, be it finance, be it some physical help or whatever help, or cleaning, you know, whatever, we help them, we are happy, they are happy. Now time comes when you are truly in need of a particular help and no one comes to your help. What is the attitude there? We are ready to help others anytime. Now no one comes to our help. See? Now we need to go back maybe those few weeks or months or years when I helped somebody. What did I really intend? What was my true motivation? Was it that today I'm helping so that few years down the line I also get some help from them? It's no help. It's no Christian character. It was a business deal. I give you something because I also get something. So these are practical things in our lives where our real Christian character is tested. So when I do things for my wife, for my husband, for my family, for my church, and even to the outsiders, when we conduct ourselves with them, with the believers, do we truly have the pure motives? Or is there purity in our motives? And that's what Paul is trying to say. When church attacked his character, he's saying, my conscience testifies to me that I always had the pure motives. I did not do this with some hidden agenda, not something to gain from you. But I did. If I said something, I meant it. I meant what I said. And nothing more than that. Nothing hidden. It was crystal clear, at least to my conscience, that what I did it with the same intention or the particular motive. And so, when we're thinking of Christian character that Paul is trying to talk about, him defending that and his character, he's saying, first thing, when I did everything, there was purity of motive. And now, that is not just confined to the church. What is he actually saying? Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the church, in the world. Why? Because our Christian character is not limited to the Christian settings. And I know this is very difficult when you are dealing with this fallen world. When you move around in this fallen world, this is not very easy. And there are high chances, high possibilities that we will go wrong in our motives and what we mean in our intentions. But then there is challenge to our Christian character. That when I'm dealing with anybody, be it my family member, be it my church, or be it outside the church, do I truly carry those pure motives? Now this is very easy maybe to preach and to listen and say yes and amen. But truly we all know practically this is very difficult, and we shall come to that later. So that is the first thing he's saying, that we had pure motives. I heard this from a pastor who was from the US. Bill Berry was his name. And when he was sharing with us, he said this. His junior pastor, when he was handing over the responsibilities, his junior pastor questioned him, have you ever done anything out of pure motives? Junior pastor questioned the senior pastor when he was handing over the responsibilities, have you ever done anything out of pure motives? No, I'm not giving you the answer. But just for us to think, that do we truly do things out of pure motives? We have different motives, maybe to gain something, to impress people, to sound better than that person, hide our real image and put on something else that is not true. And so we become dishonest. And we have different motives in doing. But then there is a challenge and a call to that Christian character that let's do things with pure motives. Because we can have all the knowledge possible in the world, we can have all the commentaries, we can have the best sermons prepared, preached and listened, we can have all of it, what matters is our true Christian character. Paul's reference point again is not about how much I have done, this much I done, was it because I was not pure? His reference point is nothing else. But he says, my conscience testifies that I had pure motives when I dealt with you and also even in the world. So, first thing he talks about, when the word says simplicity, holiness or frankness, whatever translation, it actually means the purity of motives. When we say, like, you know, in Samuel that God looks at heart, he doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at heart. What would that really mean? He looks at heart is what did he really mean? God does not judge us just based on our actions. He would judge us on the basis of our intentions. Did we mean it? What were our motives? Was there true purity in our motives? That's the first thing he's talking about. Then he says, we have conducted ourselves in the world with pure motives. And then secondly, godly sincerity. Now, we know opposite is just insincerity, right? Yes. Or that could mean hypocrisy, right? And I think we all are familiar with these concepts. I don't have to explain so much. Okay. So he says, when we did this, there was no hypocrisy. When I write to you, there is no hypocrisy. I have right motives. And I also have that godly sincerity. Sincerity that comes from God. So I truly have that sincerity as well. Now, I just read verse 2 of chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 2.
Please open your hearts to us. We have not done it.
Yes. Yes.
We have not done wrong to anyone.
We have not done wrong to anyone. Now he's talking about particularly in the context of the Corinthian church. We have not done wrong to anybody. Yes.
We have not led anyone astray.
Okay.
We have not taken advantage of anyone.
We have not taken advantage of anyone. Simply meaning when we did it with sincerity. When we dealt with you, when we ministered to you, there was sincerity in us. Sincerity that comes from God. And we have done things with that sincerity. So you could read chapter 7, verse 2, again chapter 11 and verses 9. He's saying, it was not that we wanted to take something out of you. That was not our true intention. But we were sincere in doing what we did for you when we were with you. And not it was not limited to Corinthian church. Even when we dealt with people in the world, we had the same thing. The pure motives and the sincerity we had when we dealt with you and also with the outsiders. We meant what we said and there was no personal gain. We didn't do it so that we can get some money out of you. We didn't do it so that we can get anything out of you for that personal gain. We never did it. We were sincere when we did it and our conscience testifies this. Okay, now moving on next. Well, before that, verse 13 that we read is again about that, that sincerity. When we wrote, we meant it. It says, for what we are writing you is nothing more than what you can read and also understand. I hope you will understand completely. So we wrote what we meant. There was no reading between the lines. Are you listening? There was no reading between the lines. We meant what we wrote. There's no reading between the lines. We were sincere in doing what we did. There was no, we didn't have that, you know, duplicious, you call it, right? Being duplicate, hypocrisy. No, not being duplicate in what we did. We were honest, we were sincere in all that we did. This is the testimony of our conscience. Now, he says, in the world with pure motives and godly sincerity, without earthly wisdom. Without earthly wisdom, but with God's grace. Now, when he's saying without earthly wisdom, you know, there are things that society could justify, saying that those things are okay, those things are fine. But he's saying, when we did things, when we were sincere, we were honest in doing all this, we didn't do this with worldly wisdom. Why? Because we know, he has talked about that, and we know that worldly wisdom does not give the godly standards. And so when we did it, it was not with worldly wisdom. Because there are things that world would justify, saying this is okay, this is fine, no problem. But we have not dealt with you in that manner. And then finally he goes on saying, but with God's grace. When we dealt with you and with the world, we had this honesty, we had this sincerity, we had pure motives. Now this is not according to the wisdom of the world, but it was, now I was just thinking, he didn't say not without earthly wisdom, but with godly wisdom. He has not used the same words, because that would be right, contrast, worldly wisdom, godly wisdom. But he's not actually using that contrast even. He's saying not earthly wisdom, but God's grace. Because this character forming will not happen just with the knowledge, it will happen by the grace of God. We are men and our mind is so inclined to having impure motives, being insincere, not showing the real us, but trying to put on something else. This is human mind. This is effect of sin in us, in our nature. But he's saying, if we were pure, we were sincere, pure in our motives, it was not because of that wisdom, it was not because we knew so much, but it is all because of the grace of God. That's why in other places also he says, I am that I am because of the grace of God. All that I am. Then he says to, Colossians, he says that I'm able to do that because grace that is working in me. This is not because I want to, this is not my willpower, but this is the grace of God. And so as humans, I would say, this is not possible for us to be always pure in our motives. This is not possible for us to be very sincere in everything that we do. But the only hope we have is the grace of God that will abound. We can be now sincere. We can be pure in our motives, not because of the wisdom that we have, not because of the knowledge that we have acquired, not because of our willpower, but we can be pure in our motives. We can be sincere just because of the grace of God. And that's what he's saying, not with the worldly wisdom, but by the grace of God. With the grace of God. Because when we came to you, it was not that we went to educated people. It was not that we just went to the high class people. We went even to the nobodies. That's why he says he had chosen the fool of this world to shame the wise of the world. He had chosen the weak from this world so that we can shame the strong in the world. And that is the grace of God. So when Paul is talking of this, the boast actually, though he says, my conscience testifies, ultimately is coming back to the grace of God. It's not because I have decided, it's not because I have chosen, it's not because now I have made myself that kind of man, but he's saying it's all because of the grace of God. It's not even with the human wisdom, but with the grace of God. And I think that's the character that we need, the Christian character, purity in motives and the sincerity when we deal with others or when we do things. These two more important things, and they can come by the grace of God. Not saying that we have no responsibility, but saying the ultimate source is God. As human, as being, having that inherited sin, I cannot truly live life that is always with pure motives and sincerity. But my hope is in the grace of God. I have that grace. By grace now I can do that. By grace I can have pure motives. Because by grace I understand more of what I should be doing. And for that knowledge to be practiced, I have the grace of God. I'll gain my strength from that grace so that I can be pure in my motives. I can be sincere in all my works. So this is God's grace that we all need. And so if we were just to ask questions, we know what our answer would be. Are we always pure? Are we always having pure motives? You know your answer. Your conscience testifies to you. My conscience testifies to me. Do I always have pure motives? Am I always sincere in all that I do? But then just because of that, we don't have to be hopeless. We don't have to be lost. But our hope is that grace of God is there, because of which now I can be sincere in all that I do. Because of I can have the purity in all my motives. And it all goes back to the grace of God. And so may God grant us that grace, that as we call ourselves believers, disciples, follower of Christ, let's have the purity in our motives. We're not trying to impress the world. We're trying to do things with pure motives and with the sincerity. And grace of God will bring that in us. Because Christian character cannot be formed with the worldly wisdom, but it will be formed by the grace of God. And may God grant us that grace. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, we want to thank you for your grace, O God. Lord, no day can pass by without thanking you for the grace we received, for the salvation that came to us by grace and through faith. And we are grateful to you, O Lord, for that. Godly standards are high, and with our efforts and human wisdom, we can never match up to those standards. But our hope is in the grace of God. We have that grace by which now we can have that true Christian character formed in us. Many a time we fail, but we rise up, keeping our eyes on the grace of God, that is where we will gain our strength. That is what the source of our strength. And then we shall live with the pure motives and the sincere heart, sincerity in all that we do. So Lord, we pray that you will grant us your grace to be pure in our motives and to be sincere in all that we do, not just in the context of the church and believers, but even in the context of the world, where we know it is very challenging to be true Christian. But we have the grace of God, our strength, that we can go and be pure in our motives and sincere in our work. So Lord, we come before you and asking you that you will strengthen us to do this. You will give us the grace so that we can have this Christian character. So bless us together and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.